Texas Governor Greg Abbott bans schools and other government entities from requiring face masks. Jen Psaki says former President Trump did nothing to help Middle East peace. Plus, the American Medical Association goes all in on critical race theory. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. Hope you're having a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Texas because there is big news coming out of Texas, and it flies right in the face of what Joe Biden was saying a few months ago and what blue state governors and mayors continue to do and say today. Recall back in March, Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, he lifted the statewide mask mandate. No more masks. He said businesses could go back to full capacity, and it was met with shock by the radical left. Remember the White House? They freaked out. Here was Joe Biden's reaction.
I think it's a big mistake. Look, I hope everybody's realized by now, these masks make a difference. We are on the cusp of being able to fundamentally change the nature of this disease because of the way in which we're able to get vaccines in people's arms. We've been able to move that all the way up to the end of May to have enough for every American, to get every adult American to get a shot. And the last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine, take off your mask, forget it.
Neanderthal thinking. That's what Joe Biden said. That's what the rest of the left said. That's what the media was covering, was not what was going on in Texas, but Joe Biden's reaction, the White House reaction. So how did it turn out? Was it Neanderthal thinking? Check out this tweet from Governor Abbott posted a few days ago. Today, Texas reported zero COVID-related deaths, the only time that's happened since data was tracked in March 2020. The fewest COVID cases in over 13 months. The lowest 7-day COVID positivity rate ever. The lowest COVID hospitalizations in 11 months. Thanks, Texans. So, does that look like Neanderthal thinking? In the meantime, the radical left, they don't know what to think now that the CDC has granted permission for vaccinated people to be indoors or outdoors, basically anywhere without a mask. They're freaking out because that was their safety jacket. That was their compliance symbol. You know, we fall in line. We comply. We won't disobey. Now they don't know what to do because people are shedding their masks, and that was their virtue signal. Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, she doesn't know what to do. She was asked on MSNBC whether people in Chicago should wear a mask. Here's her response.
Well, I think we've got to get some clarification from the CDC. The rollout, obviously, as the reporting has been, was a bit abrupt. And I think they've got a lot of clarification that they need to do. I know for me personally, I'm going to continue to wear a mask in public, and I'm going to encourage others to do so.
She's fully vaccinated. Lori Lightfoot's fully vaccinated, but she's going to go ahead and continue to wear a mask and encourage other people to do so as well. Never going back to normal, continuing to wear a mask. Meanwhile, let's go back to Texas and Governor Greg Abbott, because he issued an executive order yesterday. It was a follow-up to the one in March, because even though he lifted the mask mandate, there were certain government entities, including schools, that were still requiring it. Schools requiring children to wear these masks all day long. He said, enough is enough. That's gone. You can't require masks. And here's the story. Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order prohibiting governmental entities in Texas, including counties, cities, school districts, public health authorities, or government officials, from requiring or mandating mask wearing. Public schools may continue to follow current mask wearing guidelines through June 4th. After June 4th, no student, teacher, parent, or other staff member or visitor can be required to wear a mask while on campus. Beginning May 21st, local governments or officials that attempt to impose a mask mandate or impose a limitation inconsistent or conflicting with the executive order can be subject to a fine of up to $1,000. Well, that's just great news. And I'll tell you what, there were news circulating about school districts in my area. Local school districts that sent out word that they were going to require face masks on kids for the 2021-2022 school year. It's outrageous. But thanks to some leadership and some common sense, children can actually and literally breathe easier. And here's more. The Lone Star State continues to defeat COVID-19 through the use of widely available vaccines, antibody therapeutic drugs, and safe practices utilized by Texans in our communities, said Governor Abbott. Texans, not government, should decide their best health practices, which is why masks will not be mandated by public school districts or government entities. We can continue to mitigate COVID-19 while defending Texans' liberty to choose whether or not they mask up. That's just great stuff by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. And here's the question. Will the blue states catch up? How long will it take for the blue states to catch up? Or will these leftists continue their virtue signal? Remember what I covered the other day. David Hogg, left-wing radical activist, continues to wear a mask after being fully vaccinated so people won't think he's conservative. That's what's going on. Thankfully, in Texas, we have some real leadership. All right, next, let's talk about White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, let's talk about White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, because as part of this administration, she fits right in. Joe Biden can't do anything. He's failing on every single policy issue, whether it's the border, whether it's on energy, whether it's on inflation, or foreign policy. But Jen Psaki, she is a close second. It's one thing to spin things. I mean, this messaging from the White House is all over the place. She can't even do that. But to come out and just flat out lie, flat out misdirect, and say something that everyone knows is not true, that's what she's doing. And it just makes no sense. How do you have that job if you can't do the job? She was asked yesterday about what's going on in the Middle East. And you know, tensions are sky high between Israel and Hamas. The conflict that is going on is dramatically different than what we saw during the Trump administration. Yet, when asked about it, Psaki says that former President Trump didn't do anything constructive for the region. Here's the story. The president has reinstated humanitarian assistance and security assistance to the Palestinians. That's something that was stopped back in 2018, and we felt that was not a constructive action by the prior administration, Psaki said during an Air Force One press briefing. Aside from putting forward a peace proposal that was dead on arrival, we don't think they did anything constructive, really, to bring an end to the longstanding conflict in the Middle East. Oh my gosh, folks. This is unbelievable. The work that was done in the Trump administration to forge peace, to build ties between Israel and the Arab states was incredible. There was so much work done. Here's a recap. The Trump administration organized the Abraham Accords between Israel and Sudan, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates, which normalized relations between Israel and the three Arab states. Israel and Morocco also normalized relations, although that agreement was not part of the Abraham Accords. In exchange for their official recognition of Israel, the countries received certain benefits from the U.S. The White House removed Sudan from its list of state sponsors of terrorism. State sponsors of terrorism may not receive certain foreign aid and defense sales and may be denied access to financial markets. Although Biden had publicly expressed support for the Abraham Accords, he paused the sale of F-35 fighter jets to the UAE and Saudi Arabia. The UAE deal was part of the Abraham Accords, while Saudi Arabia has increased ties with Israel despite not being a formal signatory. That's what was done in the Trump administration, and Jen Psaki describes it as nothing constructive. That is what is going on, folks. We have failed leadership. Not only can Joe Biden not lead at all, he's actually undermined the Abraham Accords. It's Jimmy Carter 2.0. All right. Next, let's talk about the American Medical Association, because you would think that they would be focused on medicine, advancements in medical technology, better medical care. Nope, that's not what they're concerned about now. They are going all in on critical race theory, because apparently, to the left, the police, law enforcement, they aren't the only ones that suffer from systemic racism. It's also in medicine. And here's the story. The American Medical Association, AMA, the largest national organization representing physicians and medical students in the United States, says it will set aside its long-held concept of meritocracy in favor of racial justice and health equity. In an 86-page strategic plan released May 11th, the AMA set out a 3-year roadmap detailing how the advocacy group will use its influence to dismantle structural and institutional racism and advance social and racial justice in America's healthcare system. Racial justice and health equity? Structural and institutional racism? That's what they're talking about at the American Medical Association? And make no mistake, folks, by adopting this, by embracing critical race theory, you are going to see a de-emphasis on merit. That means it will have a direct effect on medical students and residency programs. Who gets in? Who doesn't get in? Now they're going to be focusing on who checks the most boxes rather than who is the most competent. That's what we have to look forward to, and here's more. The commonly held narrative of meritocracy is the idea that people are successful purely because of their individual effort, it states. Medical education has largely been based on such flawed meritocratic ideals, and it will take intentional focus and effort to recognize, review, and revise this deeply flawed interpretation. Instead, the AMA suggests medical schools should incorporate into their programs critical race theory, an offshoot of Marxism that views society through the lens of a power struggle between the race of oppressors and that of the oppressed. As a result, according to the theory, all long-established institutions of Western society are considered to be tools of racial oppression. Can you believe this? Folks, this is known Marxist ideology, and it is being embraced by the American Medical Association, as well as a host of other corporations and entities and organizations. Here's some comments from Christopher Rufo, who talks clearly and explains what is going on with critical race theory. This is from a recent interview on the Rubin Report.
If you look at the kind of white supremacist ideology of the 1950s, which we all denounce, it has the same categorization as the critical race theory ideology of today. You reduce people to a racial essence. Back then and today, it's whiteness and blackness. You create a group identity-based hierarchy. Again, it's different, but it's the same concept. And then these critical race theory trainings are essentially denouncing people not on their individual characteristics, but on their inborn identity. This is something that was wrong in 1950. It's wrong today. And we should be very on high alert, and we should all be working together to jettison this ideology.
This is what the AMA is embracing. Forget about having the best physicians, the best possible medical care. Nope, it's all about social justice and being woke. That's what's going on at the AMA and a host of other corporations. So next, speaking of being woke, let's talk about the Jim Henson Company. You know, those that bring you the Muppets? They have a casting call. They're looking for new puppeteers, but here's the catch, and this is where their wokeness comes in. Here's the catch. If you're a straight white male, you can't even apply. It doesn't matter how good your skills are, how good of a puppeteer you are, you can't even apply. And here's the story. The creative powerhouse behind the Muppets has put out an exclusive casting call to up its woke credentials in the entertainment industry. A recent audition announcement tweeted to potential recruits reads, "The Jim Henson Company, headquartered in Los Angeles, California, is seeking top talent and new creative voices from diverse communities and backgrounds to train as puppeteers in the Jim Henson technique. Please see posted images for complete submission guidelines." Individuals welcome at the event include members of the LGBTQ+ community, people of color, and women of all cultural backgrounds. It's just amazing that the stated goals of the radical left are inclusivity and tolerance, yet all of their policies go to exclude and are intolerant. If you are a straight white male, you are out of luck. It doesn't even matter your job qualifications. It doesn't matter. You can't even apply. And here's more. The entertainment website Bounding Into Comics noted multiple levels of irony at play due to the Los Angeles company's workshop. The namesake for the company, Jim Henson, is a white male if ever the world saw one, the website responded Tuesday. In the end, the Jim Henson Company's casting call is yet another case of a large corporate entity pushing agendas based on race, gender, and socio-political affiliations in the name of cultural diversity and inclusivity, while in reality practicing the diametrically opposite behavior of that very word. One puppeteer on Twitter added, "I've been training my entire life for an opportunity like this, but I'm not allowed to apply because of my skin color. Jim Henson would be ashamed." Jim Henson would be ashamed. At least I hope he would. What happened? Whatever happened to the great American melting pot where we all came together, regardless of our background, to be Americans? Now it's all about race or gender or ethnicity or sexual orientation. We can't exist. We can't be a great nation if we are just a collection of interest groups. We have to come together to be American. That's how you build a strong nation. That's how you build a lasting nation. That's how you promote and develop the American way of life, folks. Friends, that's our show for today. But don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. All right, thanks again for tuning in. Our next show will be Friday. Come on out for that. We'll have a dose of relaxed brain, and we'll see you then. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, thanks so much for watching. And before you go, please hit that subscribe button, hit that bell so you'll be notified. And here's a special video just for you so you can watch even more of the 13-Minute News Hour. And don't forget to check out GOPUSA.com for the best in conservative news and commentary. We'll see you next time.